morning, my name is Stephen Carr. Today is January 26th, 2026. So today I wanted to talk about a lot of different things. I'm continually talking about tech, AI, fitness, gender dynamics, whole smorgasbord of everything. And I decided to sit here and go through all of the questions that have been submitted to me recently, especially the ones in regards to actually making AI more understandable to the layperson. In a lot of ways, people think the doom and gloom, right? AI is going to take over the world. It's going to take over every job. And what I've actually seen is, everyone that has played with AI says, oh, it can code. It can do everything for us. And granted, it can do quite a bit. But there's some real-world stories that I wanted to share. I just kind of go through it and explain exactly how it is useful to the everyday person, but also how it is not going to be the impending doom that a lot of people think that it's going to be. So one particular story was this. I'm part of a workout group. It's several hundred people big, local. And one guy posted in our channels and Slack, and he said, hey, I've got a full software here. I built this thing. It does X, Y, Z. And, I need someone helping me to get this out to launch. So I PM'd him directly and, hey, what's going on here? Give me some feedback here. I've been doing this 20 years. So what do you need help with? So he started letting me know and he kind of chatted it up. And then I just was pretty straightforward. I said, hey man, I don't want to be a dick, but it seems like you went to Grok or ChatGPT and literally just asked it to spool out an entire software idea. And you literally have no idea what to do next. And he wrote me back and he said, that's exactly what I did. And then I wrote him back again and I said, hey, again, I'm not trying to be a dick, but there's about 100 steps between where you're at now and actually getting it into production. And that's the point, is that everyone thinks that they can be a full stack software developer just because AI can spit out, 50 or several hundred lines of code. Personally, I found that it actually craps out at about over 800 lines of code. When I say crap out, I mean literally it's going to be full of bugs at that point. And so if you are a developer, you have to be able to break it out into small, seamless pieces. But even still, there's so many different things in minutiae that are required to take a code set, an idea, the full stack. AI doesn't really do graphics. It can spit you out a little image, but it can't sit there and build it the exact pixels you need. It can't build it nice. It can give you a little bit of CSS, but it can even walk you through it. So in a lot of ways, I like to almost relate AI to a more modern and faster version of Stack Overflow. It's definitely helpful. A word picture that I like to use is everybody's seen Iron Man. And then the first Iron Man movie, you've got Tony Stark sitting there, and he is the brains behind everything. He builds the Iron Man suit, and he has his little robotic arm helper that's always kind of right next to him in his lab. And it's always handing him things or putting out fires and doing stuff. And honestly, that is how I would view AI. It is a helper, and it's only as powerful as whoever is wielding it. So granted, in my own world, I can spin things out much quicker. But it's because I know every step from A to Z to get something out the door. I mean, with over 25 iPhone apps in production in the App Store, I've pretty much got it down to a science where I can almost create anything and release it within 3 to 4 days. Now, that's just a MVP, minimum viable product. So, of course, you can always grow it. I always like to say software is kind of like a child. And you really just want to give birth to it, get it out there so that the public can use it. It can be in the customer's hands. It can be in the end user's hands. And then you start to grow it, mature it, add features. And that's the part about software that people just really don't understand. They also think it's just like checking a box. Build me software. I'll pay you and see you later. They don't realize that there is a continual maintenance, technical debt, so to speak, where you need to maintain this application because there's so many variables that you can't control, right? Hardware changes, OS systems change, things that are outside of your control. So that's the one thing I wanted to point out too. I do think that AI makes things faster. And one of the best ways that it does for the most common uses that I use it for and other people is also just parsing out a ton of data, dump it out there and say, hey, convert this into a, readable JSON string or, a CSV file and those kinds of things. A lot of people talk about AI agents and even though I am using OpenAI's API, right now a lot of my stuff is more custom developed, basically. I tailor my own prompts, lock it all behind my own domain. But that's another thing too. We have so many companies spinning out, hey, we've got our own AI version. And the dirty little secret is this. There really is no other AI except OpenAI. That's pretty much it. Everything else is a wrapper that includes OpenAI API in the back end. Even Azure. Azure's AI is really just piping in OpenAI into the system. So, what are the fears with AI? Right now, the main fears are mainly people are worried about their data. Oh no, you know, it's going to get in there. It's going to save all of the data. Well, that's always been the case. You know, you post it on the internet. The problem is that some people are like posting their passwords and, you know, keys in there. But again, it's going to OpenAI servers. They're not going to be doing anything with that. But OpenAI is definitely going to be harvesting your personal information in ways that Facebook never could. And this is the way that's happening now. And I'm sure Facebook is even leveraging it now. Facebook originally, you know, said, hey, put all the information about yourself, find your friends and connect with them. Well, then Facebook, you were giving them all of the free information about yourself. Now they could target you with tailored custom advertisements that they know you'd be interested in. Now you can even get deeper. People are disclosing some of the most interpersonal and private shit into AI, into ChatGPT, than has ever been known to man. So in my mind, that is actually, honestly, pretty amazing. Feet of what they've created. They've created something where people trust it implicitly. You know, some people even won't even tell their best friends certain things because they just don't want to be judged. But people will put everything into ChatGPT. Hey, how do I handle this relationship? You know, what do I do here? What do I do there? And again, the main thing is that it's just a tool that can be used, but you just have to be able to wield it in the correct way. So really, you can't stop AI, but I'm a huge advocate for training people how to use it or how to question it, right? Verify the data that it spits back at you. And it really doesn't expose anything that hasn't already existed before. End users are lazy. End users Google something, copied it, paste it into their report. Nothing's really changed. The non-lazy people would at least vet it or reread it or rewrite it. And that's where we're at now. So one of the main things, too, actually, is if OpenAI does lead to mass job layoffs, some people say work will be optional. Elon Musk was even saying that. He even said recently in an interview that, hey, you don't even need to be squirreling away for retirement anymore because every necessity that you need will be provided for. Food, medicine, medical, all these things, AI, and, you know, robots will be able to handle for you in the future. Well, that sounds good on the surface. But one thing that people don't really realize is that a lot of the people that have ever won the lottery, there have been several studies done, and they find out that the people, whatever problems they had, actually amplified, right? So let's say you had a problem with drinking, and all of a sudden you had $50 million. That person would just drink themselves to death, or they get more depressed, or they would get really depressed because every single one of their friends and family starts asking them for money. And of course, now they feel like they have no friends because everyone only wants them because they have money. Some people are always, you know, bitching and moaning about, you know, I have to work this job, I don't make enough. But you don't realize that that pressure that you have to provide for family, friends, your own self, your needs, actually keeps you alive. It actually gives you a reason to live. And so I would say the biggest fear would probably be AI coming to a point where people think work is optional. Because let's face it, if people didn't have to work, they probably wouldn't. They'd probably sit there and smoke weed, play video games, and watch TV all day. Society is already struggling right now, even with interpersonal relationships. Some people like to blame technology. They say AI is doing this. Honestly, people have been struggling with friendships since the dawn of time. Even Socrates had said that if you have one or two good friends in a lifetime, you should consider yourself lucky. Well, they had no iPhones back then. They had no iPads, no computers, no phones. But even then, it was still hard to connect. which is so interesting because humans are social creatures. We love people. We love communicating. Being around other people is a great way to bounce off our ideas. It was once said that the reason that we hug other people is almost to prove that we ourselves exist, right? When you feel someone else, when you hug them, it almost is telling your nervous system you are alive. And so that's the thing. I actually think that AI is really just exposing a problem that's always been there. Men and women have always been lonely. You know, depression's always been a real thing. Being able to connect with other people has always been a real thing because there's so many things that play into it, not just technology. It's time and chance. Maybe you're at a certain point in your life where you just really don't need a friend, but you cross paths with someone who did. Doesn't work out. That has nothing to do with technology. Some people are friends with people they work with. That all has to do with proximity. When I was in college, I basically had a new friend group every semester. And it was because whoever I was in class with, I just started hanging around those people and got to know them. And honestly, I got to enjoy that. I really didn't like keeping too many friends for too long because it got boring. So all of that to say that, you know, AI is an amazing tool. They're making massive leaps and bounds. And like anything else, you're just going to have to shift with the technology. You know, the internet came out. It took away some jobs and made some better. You know, when the typewriter came out, some jobs went away and some people just got faster at what they did. So in a lot of ways, it's going to do what it's always done. It's going to force people to be creative, creative to solve the problem. If jobs are going away, how can you make new jobs? How can you provide some sort of a service or fill a need that AI can't do? And it's the people that are creative. Those are the ones that are going to survive in this world. So I just wanted to put that out for you today. I hope you have a great day. I'm Stephen Carr, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.